Our Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette, that's Ed Bouchette, and he's brought to you by Honda North. Eddie, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How you doing?
We're doing well. First off, with all these injuries to the offensive line, looks like Jonathan Scott's is the most severe.
Well, it's hard to tell. I don't know how bad Marcus Gilbert is. Of course, he went back in the game. They didn't have much choice. It was probably Heath Miller at tackle after that. But he did not look happy. I didn't get to talk to him. He did not look happy in the locker room. He had a big ice bag on his left ankle. The good news was there was no boot on that left ankle. But, you know, they're also on the road. They may not have had one that fit him.
Now, he didn't look happy, but did anybody look happy in the locker room after that win?
Well, he sounded happy. If you read the quotes from Mike Tomlin and others, Hines Ward, just to get out of there with a win, but they have to be certainly concerned about the way they've been playing on offense, Greg. If Peyton Manning were playing yesterday, that the Colts would have won 35-7.
And Ed, some people have been rather critical of Rashard Mendenhall. Dancing, were there holes he were missing, or did I miss that part?
No, I think there were holes, some holes I saw him miss. Maybe he's gun-shy because there are so few holes, Paul. But if you saw Mawelde Moore at the end, boy, he just runs straight up the middle, right where he's supposed to run, and he picked up yards. Granted, it was only twice for 9 yards, but he looked good doing it, and Rashard just doesn't. You know, he's spinning, he's dancing, he's he's not gaining yards. He had 15 yards. When he gets in the open, he looks good, like he did last week against Seattle. And he had 15 yards on one carry. He had 22 yards on the other 17.
Ed, here's my favorite quote from after the game, and maybe you can translate this quote because you mentioned Mawelde Moore, because he was he and Redmond were in there for that final drive. Moore said, "We know what kind of kicker or what type of kicker he is," meaning Sweezum. "We needed to get closer for him so he could go ahead and put the dagger in." Is that what's he getting at there?
Well, it was a 38 yarder. It wasn't a gimme, especially since he missed one from 36, bounced it off the post. You know, a little earlier, and right there you're going, "Uh oh, here comes Jeff Reed again." But he did knock 3 or 4, one from 48 yards, and of course the game winner. Kickers on occasion miss one, as you well know. Vander Jack, one of the most accurate in NFL history, missed the big one 6 years ago. But nevertheless, hey, they won. But boy, I tell you what, they can't play like that. Houston will win.
Every Monday at 8 o'clock, our Steelers insider Ed Bouchette joins us on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. And back to this offensive line, and the name that always comes up when there's an injury is Flozell Adams. They're going to call Flozell Adams. Can they bring him back in? Is that basically an impossibility at this point?
I wouldn't say an impossibility, Greg. They need to take a look at him if they are interested to see what kind of shape he's in and everything else. The last time they didn't, and they said to me, "Well, we haven't seen him since the first day of training camp." Well, maybe it's time to take a look, you know, just to see. Hey, Flozell, how you doing?
Now he wants a lot.
Want to come up here, go down there and take a look.
Now he wants a lot of money, though. Are the Steelers in any position to give him the cash that he's looking for?
Well, the longer he goes, Greg, the less money I think he might want, and the Steelers would be one place he'd go because, they have a chance to win a Super Bowl, and he's been here. I think he liked it here. But again, he's not going to play for nothing. They'd have to be creative. That's all I can say. I mean, you can be creative. If you're in that dire shape, you can be creative.
Is Max Starks in that same category? I understand he has dropped the weight that was so alarming from before.
Oh, I think that ship has sailed. They just don't seem to have any interest in Max Starks.
Now, Ed, correct me if I'm wrong here, but for whatever reason, I know that maybe Indianapolis played a different defense and they were playing guys farther off the line of scrimmage because it's a two-minute situation with the Steelers getting the ball at the end. But why does it look like they seem to move the ball better with Ramon Foster when he's in there?
Oh, I don't know. I do know that's where Mawelde Moore was running. Now, Ramon Foster's a little bigger than Doug. And he started there last year. You know, he was a starter in the Super Bowl. So he's not chopped liver, and that's you know, that, again, that's a decision they're going to have to make. Is he better than Doug Legarski? They already made the decision, a calculated one, that no, he's not, that Doug Legarski's better. That's why he was starting. So I don't know that 1-on-1 is 2 on that, Jim. I think, you know, some of it has to do with the fact that Wilder Moore was running straight.
Ed, I know we're going to go back to this, and this is something you're going to talk about for the rest of Ben Roethlisberger's career, but is he holding on to the ball too long? Is he hurting himself with this bad offensive line?
I think just the opposite, Greg. I think he's been getting rid of it quicker this year. You know, that one where he was sacked in the back by Freeney, I mean, Jonathan Scott stood up, and just by his body reaction, he looks stunned that Dwight Freeney was rushing past him on that play. He never made an initial move to try and stop Freeney until Freeney was, you know, smacking Roethlisberger in the back on the blind side.
I think probably because,
Ben didn't hold it too long on that.
You know, Ed, maybe that's because Freeney was having too much success pushing Scott directly back into Roethlisberger, and he was surprised that he bothered to go around him.
Yeah, the other time, I mean, he did. He pushed him right into him, and he was around Ben's legs when Ben threw, you know, a pass that just bounced toward nobody. But, they have to do something. But, you know, you got to say what? What are you going to do at left tackle? You got Marcus Gilbert there. You got Trey Essex there. Chris Scott. They don't have a lot of choices.
And Ed, the D-line. Aaron Smith got pushed around a little bit, and even Casey Hampton. I know Jeff Saturday's a hell of a center, but, boy, they didn't look good against the run. And as we all know, if the Steelers don't stop the run, things just break down after that.
And you know what, Paul? Adai had like 86 yards. They did not, with the Colts, as usual, did not commit to the run. And I think if they had run it a little more yesterday, they might have come up with the upset win because I think they averaged 4.6 yards on the ground. But again, they didn't try very hard. And you'd think if they would have tried a little more, they might have come out with the victory yesterday. Yeah, the Steelers' run defense, they're giving up, 4.6 a carry and many more yards than their own run team has had. I think they're giving up 290 in three games, which isn't a whole lot, but it's more than the 62 they gave up last year on average.
Steelers insider Ed Bouchette of the Post-Gazette joining us here on the Fan Morning Show, as he does every Monday morning at 8. One thing the Steelers defense did finally do, Ed, is that they caused a turnover. And not only that, but they scored off it, which was something that was a long time in coming. And yet on the very next drive after that, they let Curtis Painter lead a team 80 yards to tie it. It was kind of a schizoid situation.
Yeah, and they couldn't have been tired because they were only out there for two plays, Jim. With Curtis Painter at quarterback, hey, there were so many overthrows and underthrows by the Colts quarterbacks yesterday before that last drive. They had a wide-open touchdown once, and Painter just overthrew the Frenchman. What's his name? 85.
The Frenchman. Garçon.
Yeah, thank you.
Garçon.
Thank you, Garçon. Table, please, Garçon. The Steelers were lucky. The Steelers were darn lucky. If Peyton Manning were playing yesterday, they'd be 1-2.
All right, take your best guess at what this offensive line is going to look like next week down in Houston.
Where's Tony Hill?
Denver.
Yeah.
He's a Bronco.
I think maybe Trey Essex at left tackle, left guard the same, center the same, right guard Ramon Foster, and right tackle either Gilbert or if he can't go, Chris Scott. That's what I mean, where else are you going?
Well, then what about that guy Meredith that they signed? Another Sean Coogler guy from Buffalo.
Yeah, I don't know. Meredith in the league since Don, but I don't know. I don't know if he's any good. Who knows?
Ed, you know, there were some weird things going on all over the league, and, you know, it starts with New England and others. Is this still a team that can contend in the AFC, or is there legitimate concerns?
Oh, there's got to be some concerns. Sure, it can contend. I mean, you look around the league, and some crazy things are happening yesterday. Jerry Dulac, my partner, mentioned to me, he says, this looks like it's going to be a crazy day. It wouldn't surprise me if the Steelers lost. And you saw what happened. I picked them by three.
Yeah,
Paul.
I know you did.
I didn't expect a wipeout, but boy, the way they started, you thought it was going to be 40-0, and it's their play more than the score of the game, I think, that has to concern them, especially on offense.